Chapter 11. Chewbacca sat by the fire, the dark shadow of the Millennium Falcon behind him. Building a fire had taken longer than he'd expected. The island had few trees. Just stubborn shrubs kept stunted by the ceaseless wind. At least the pudgy native birds, Luke had said they were called porgs, were easy to catch. Eager for a change from shipboard rations, Chewbacca had scooped one up to roast on a spit. The Wookiee gave the spit another turn and took a sniff. Done. Nicely charred, with a hint of spiciness from the firewood. That was good. Even better, there was no shortage of porgs for future meals. The island was overrun with them, and they seemed to have no fear of bipeds. Chewie was about to take the first bite when something caught his eye. It was a porg, standing at the edge of the firelight as if mesmerized. A particularly plump and juicy-looking porg, the Wookiee thought. Wondering if it was worth delaying his meal a few more minutes to snatch this one up, too. The porg stared up at him with big, glassy eyes. Chewie reluctantly decided it would be wrong to eat that one. His belly rumbled, and he turned away from the porg, annoyed by its seemingly sorrowful gaze. On the other side of the fire, a whole family of porgs was huddled together, staring up at him. The Wookiee roared, and the porgs fled into the darkness. Checking to make sure he hadn't missed any stragglers, he turned back to his dinner, only to find he'd lost his appetite. Something about the way the porgs had looked at him made him feel like he'd done a bad thing. But he'd only been hungry. He was too busy feeling sorry for himself to notice the dark figure that slipped through the moonlight and up the ramp of the freighter behind him. Luke walked slowly through the corridors of the Falcon, feeling like a ghost. The ring of his heels on the decking was achingly familiar. So was the smell. A distinctive blend of fuel and coolant with a faint undertone of burning circuitry from whatever was malfunctioning at the moment. Since the moment Ray had chattered excitedly about flying it, Luke's thoughts had been straying to Han Solo's ship, sitting on the ancient stone at the foot of the island. Until finally, he'd been unable to resist a visit. The Falcon had taken him away from Tatooine decades ago. A shell-shocked farm boy hurled into the middle of a galactic civil war he'd wrongly assumed would never touch him, his step-parents, or his friends. He wondered what that Luke Skywalker would think of what he'd become. Luke stepped into the cockpit, standing behind the pilot's chair that had been the closest thing to home for Han. The moonlight gleamed on the pair of dice hanging overhead, and he gently removed them, turning them this way and that with his mechanical fingers. The main hold was dim and quiet. Luke gazed at the holochest table, his eyes lingering on a familiar helmet and blast shield. He'd worn that for his very first lesson with a lightsaber, tormented by the hiss of a training remote that he couldn't see, and trying to figure out what Ben Kenobi meant by stretching out with his feelings. He sat at the game table, overwhelmed. This was where he'd wound up after Ben vanished, seemingly bisected by Darth Vader's lightsaber blade, where Leia had sought to console him as he sat in shock. He'd simultaneously seen Ben as his last link to his past on Tatooine, and as the teacher who'd help him navigate the future. Without him, he'd been unmoored and adrift. A string of familiar interrogative beeps came from the shadows. R2? He asked, brightening, and a moment later, the blue and white astromech rolled into view, chirping and whistling at length. Yes, Luke said. Decades of missions with R2-D2 had left him reasonably fluent in droid speak. But the astromech's list of accusations was both lengthy and highly specific. Yeah, it's true. R2-D2 squawked derisively. Hey, Sacred Island, Luke said. Watch the language. The droid replied with a plaintive whine. Old friend, I wish I could make you understand. I'm not coming back. Nothing can change my mind. Luke rested his hand on R2-D2's dome. But the droid responded by activating his holographic projector. Luke's breath caught at the sight of his sister, as he'd first seen her, robed in white, pleading for Obi-Wan Kenobi's help. That's a cheap move, he chided the droid, who beeped smugly. The recording vanished, leaving Luke and R2-D2 alone. The little astromech remained still as his former master stared into nothingness. And he stayed silent as Luke rose and made his way into the corridor and down the ramp, his footsteps slow and deliberate. Rey woke with a start. Luke stood over the stone bench where she'd chosen to sleep, the better to intercept him before his morning rounds. Above her, his face was drawn and pale in the moonlight. Tomorrow at dawn, he said. Three lessons. I will teach you the ways of the Jedi and why they need to end.